you could say it elevates the quality of the U.S.-Taiwan military relationship.
Beijing is not saying that at all. This is Wednesday, the 30th of December, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, we'll take you to California, one of the epicenters of the COVID pandemic. The shipping and storage of one brand of COVID vaccine may be chilling its delivery. The man who will be U.S. president has some harsh words for the man who is president now. And a London tailor has gone robotic. All of that and more on today's VOA Asia. China has expressed its anger after U.S. President Donald Trump signed into law measures to further bolster support for Taiwan and Tibet, which had been included in a $2.3 trillion pandemic aid and spending package. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said Beijing was opposed to both the Taiwan Assurance Act of 2020 and the Tibetan Policy and Support Act of 2020. China has watched with growing alarm as the United States has stepped up its backing for Chinese claim Taiwan and its criticism of Beijing's rule in remote Tibet, further straining a relationship under intense pressure over trade, human rights, and other issues. David Sachs, a research fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, called the Taiwan Assurance Act of 2020 more symbolic of the two.
The Taiwan Assurance Act is mostly couched in the sense of Congress language, so it is not binding. And it reiterates our support for Taiwan's development of asymmetric defense capabilities and its meaningful participation in international organizations. And that is already U.S. policy. So it's not asking really for a shift in U.S. policy or even really forcing a shift in U.S. policy.
Timothy Heath, RAND Corporation senior defense researcher, surmised the act incentivizes and encourages the U.S. government to deepen and broaden its relationship with Taiwan.
The act authorizes and encourages the State Department and Department of Defense to sell arms and components and to include Taiwan in military exercises. So you could say it elevates the quality of the U.S.-Taiwan military relationship with the goal of helping Taiwan defend itself more effectively against a possible Chinese attack. And then in addition, there are some requirements for the State Department to step up its efforts to raise Taiwan's profile in international organizations were appropriate and consistent with the One China policy.
Heath also explains that one provision of the Tibetan Policy and Support Act of 2020 takes immediate effect.
It prohibits the State Department from opening another consulate in China until China authorizes the U.S. government to have a consulate in Tibet. So that's one important provision. And then the second one is this act authorizes sanctions and punishments on officials in China who are responsible for some of the extremely repressive policies that are going on there.
The act also includes language about the selection of the next Dalai Lama. David Sachs explained.
There is reason for us to be worried that China will seek to handpick a successor who is friendly toward Beijing because it did that with the Panchen Lama. And this law really lays the foundation for sanctioning Chinese officials should they interfere in the selection process. And it also provides money for programs with Tibet. So $8 million per year through 2025 to promote sustainable development projects in Tibet, $6 million per year for projects in Nepal and India aimed at the Tibetan community. So that really does lay down important markers and provide funding for pursuing U.S. objectives.
President Donald Trump leaves office January 20th when President-elect Joe Biden takes the oath of office. How might these two acts affect Sino-U.S. relationships? Timothy Heath adds,
I mean, these acts are not going to fundamentally force China to change its policy. It will add a penalty that China will pay for continuing its policies. But I think Beijing will want to demonstrate to the world that it has no intent to bend to America's demands and will, in fact, as it's done in numerous other issues, try to demonstrate that it will maintain the course. So I expect that the repression in Tibet will continue. This arm-twisting behavior towards Taiwan, that will continue as well. Though, again, they have limited options regarding actually forcing Taiwan to come to the table. So long as Taiwan-U.S. relationship gets warmer and stronger, it does increase the risk for Beijing.
Timothy Heath is a senior defense researcher with the RAND Corporation, and David Sachs is a senior research fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Our thank you to VOA's Steve Miller for his assistance. We invite you to read more on our top stories by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We are also on Facebook VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at VOAnews.com. The United States strongly condemns what is termed the People's Republic of China's sham prosecution and conviction of citizen journalist Chang Chan. Thousands march against Nepal's prime minister's dissolution of parliament. Thailand's prime minister orders crackdown on officials helping human traffickers. India conducts a trial run of coronavirus vaccination drive. And Doha is confirmed as a venue for the second round of the Afghan peace talks. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA Asia. The United States topped 19 million COVID cases Monday as hospital intensive care units remain filled to overflowing across much of California, a major U.S. coronavirus hotspot. Flora Bradley Watson reports.
The United States has topped 19 million cases of COVID-19 as one of the country's worst hit states is set to extend its lockdown. Hospitals across the whole country have been strained to the brink all month, and California has been hit the hardest. Intensive care units in the state, now a major U.S. hotspot, are full to overflowing. This past week, California has been averaging 230 COVID deaths a day. Governor Gavin Newsom said restrictions on gatherings and business activities would almost certainly be renewed for another 3 weeks, as he warned things are likely to get worse after the holiday season.
Look, you need nothing more example than the total number of passengers on airplanes nationwide that we are going to see an increase in cases across this country, not just in the state of California, as it relates to these travel advisories that were not heeded clearly by everybody.
For now, California residents are under some of the toughest restrictions in the U.S. They're told to remain at home and avoid travel except for grocery shopping, medical appointments, and daily exercise, while restaurants are limited to takeout and bars are closed altogether. The country as a whole has reported 333,000 deaths since the pandemic began, and as of Sunday, 118,000 people were in U.S. hospitals with the disease.
That was Flora Bradley Watson. Because the first coronavirus vaccine approved for use in the U.S. needs to be transported in ultra-cold conditions using dry ice, that has created some unique challenges. As Licia Bacalet's report in this story, narrated by Anna Rice, transporting the Pfizer vaccine has led to a huge demand for dry ice.
Dry ice is the solid form of carbon dioxide, and it can be as cold as minus 78 degrees Celsius.
This is a pellet. This is what they're going to use. It is white. As you see, it is smoking. You can see that smoke come off of there. So that's dry.
Harry Game is the owner of Game & Sons, an Ohio company that has been producing dry ice for decades. He says demand for his product has risen 10 to 15% in recent weeks. That's because dry ice must be used to keep the Pfizer COVID vaccine in extremely cold temperatures during transportation, at minus 70 degrees Celsius. Pfizer transports its new vaccine in specially designed boxes. Each box needs a new supply of dry ice every 5 days.
One challenge is that the box cannot be opened very frequently. If you open the box, that dry ice would sublimate more quickly, right? Because the temperature gets warmer.
The other problem is high levels of carbon dioxide can be deadly. especially on board airplanes.
Planes are equipped to handle a certain amount of air exchange in the aircraft as it's flying, but you don't want to have so much on the aircraft that it would overpower that ability to display, to replenish the oxygen levels in the aircraft.
Despite the rise in demand for dry ice, experts say there's plenty to go around.
So when we looked at the system, we're pretty confident that we can meet that capacity.
The only alternative to dry ice is special refrigerators with ultra-cold settings. Some hospitals and research centers in large cities have those. And companies that make these refrigerators say they're seeing a rise in demand as well.
We literally have added probably about 50% more people into our organization. And we went out and, you know, bought $2-3 million worth of material so that we can actually get out in front of it. Now, the demand has clearly outstripped even what we thought was going to be our solution.
Other coronavirus vaccines are much less problematic. The Moderna vaccine can be transported in minus 20 degrees Celsius temperatures, which will make it much easier to transport to more remote areas. For Леся Бакалец in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Thailand says it will allow undocumented migrant workers from Cambodia, Laos, and Myanmar to work in the country legally for about 2 years to curb the spread of COVID-19. But they'll first have to undergo health checks at a cost of about $240. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has issued a message of hope and healing for the new year to the hundreds of millions of people worldwide whose lives have been shattered by the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN Chief Guterres does not hide his sorrow at the difficulties engendered by this once-in-a-century pandemic. COVID-19, he says, has upended the lives of millions, plunging the world into suffering and grief. He describes 2020 as a year of trials, tragedies, and tears, a year that continues to create havoc and claim new victims as COVID-19 rages on. The pandemic, he says, has increased poverty, inequality, and hunger to new heights.
But the new year lies ahead, and with it we see rays of hope. People extending a helping hand to neighbors and strangers, frontline workers giving their all, scientists developing vaccines in record time, countries making new commitments to prevent climate catastrophe.
Guterres says climate change and the pandemic are crises not easily overcome. He says it will take enormous work, commitment, and above all, a willingness of all people to work together for the same goal.
If we work together in unity and solidarity, these rays of hope can reach around the world. That's the lesson of this most difficult year. Together, let's make peace among ourselves and with nature, tackle the climate crisis, stop the spread of COVID-19, and make 2021 a year of healing.
Guterres says 2021 can be a year of healing divisions that were made worse from the deadly infection and broken economies if people work together. He says the best New Year's resolution for 2021 is to heal the planet. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. South Korea Tuesday reported 40 new coronavirus deaths, a record daily toll, bringing the total death tally to 859 as that country grapples with a third wave of infections centered around nursing homes and a prison in the capital of Seoul. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. While international travel is still limited from the coronavirus outbreak, it did not stop this London tailor from conducting suit fittings for foreign clients. Huntsman, the tailor shop on London's Savile Row, has its clients in the South Korean capital of Seoul. The 171-year-old tailor is using a telepresence robot named Mr. Hammock to conduct the remote fittings with its high-resolution camera. Dario Cornera, the head cutter for Huntsman, says using the robot can be more beneficial in some areas than being there in person.
Been very helpful, even more helpful than actually being there, is being able to take still images of what you're seeing. So rather than trying to remember what you saw, you've got an actual image there.
Even with the unique measures to reach clients all over the world, the historic tailor still has been negatively affected by the pandemic. Taj Full, the head of retail, says they're expecting sales to be down 65% this year.
The biggest impact for us has been the shut doors. I think had the closed doors and people been able to travel, we would have seen minus 20s, minus 30s. But for us, when the lockdown initially happened, I think it was quite a big shock in March for us to see how that reflected. Just on our chart, the fall off from March 23rd was instantaneous. It was like a light switch had been turned off.
So far, the teleporting bespoke service is only available in Seoul, but will be available in Shanghai, Beijing, Hong Kong, and Singapore soon. After losing her job of 17 years at a research company, Rani Nirwittawati decided to take her knowledge of the food and beverage business to start selling food online from her own kitchen. Nirwittawati found an online version of the Punanjan Sunday Market just days after she lost her job. Apart from providing an income, Nirwittawati says the Sunday Market is proving her more experience in managing a new business.
For me, there are a lot of uses and benefits joining the online bazaar because I can learn network and my knowledge and products are increasingly recognized.
Beside food, fashion products and arts are also being sold on the Sunday market. After her office cut her monthly wage in half during the pandemic, Parahita Satiti joined the Sunday market selling traditional Javanese kabaya. Satiti says she's hopeful in her new business venture.
Of course, this is a new business, and we haven't yet had a break-even point. But seeing the enthusiasm and orders from the Pahinggan Sunday Market, I think it'll be a promising business for me.
The Sunday Market is held once every 35 days and follows the five-day Javanese calendar. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
U.S. President-elect Joe Biden is warning of massive damage done to the national security apparatus by the Trump administration and roadblocks in communication between agency officials and his transition team that could undermine America's security. During remarks Monday in Wilmington, Delaware, Biden said his team has faced obstruction from the political leadership at the Defense Department and the Office of Management and Budget as they've sought to gather necessary information to continue the transition of power.
Right now, as our nation is in a period of transition, we need to make sure that nothing is lost in the handoff between administrations. My team needs a clear picture of our force posture around the world and our operations to deter our enemies. We need full visibility into the budget planning underway at the Defense Department and other agencies in order to avoid any window of confusion or catch-up that our adversaries may try to exploit. But as I said from the beginning, we have encountered roadblocks from the political leadership at the Department of Defense and the Office of Management and Budget. Right now, we just aren't getting all the information that we need for the outgoing administration in key national security areas. It's nothing short, in my view, of irresponsibility.
Biden's remarks came after he was briefed by members of his national security and defense teams and advisors, including his nominees for Secretary of State, Defense, and Homeland Security, as well as his incoming national security advisor. As the coronavirus rages on, companies, houses of worship, and homeless shelters are turning to space management apps to create safer indoor spaces in compliance with COVID-19 guidelines. VOA's Julie Tabo has more on that.
It's a problem facing many businesses, churches, and other indoor venues. With COVID-19 dragging out, how to bring people together in a safe and welcoming environment? Developers of a space management application called Maptition have redesigned their product with that challenge in mind. Nick Urich is the president and chief architect of Maptition. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
We originally built it to be a space analytics platform for CFOs, for managers, people who needed to know who was in a space, how much space were they taking, who was coming and who was going, and how much it was costing people.
And then came the coronavirus.
When the pandemic started, we really took a look around and said, here's our opportunity to do something a little bit more impactful. The tools we had built for the original purpose transferred very, very well to this new environment.
Those space management tools include three key features everyone was looking for. Liz Brown is Vice President of Customer Satisfaction for Brighttree, a cloud-based healthcare IT company based in Atlanta, Georgia. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
One of them is scheduling. So we are set a capacity of our office of a maximum of 25. So using the scheduling portion of the app, we're able to reach that. Physical distancing. We want to make sure that there's at least 6 feet apart from every employee when they're in their workstation or in a conference room, and then contact tracing.
Cindy Kuna is Director of Talent and Culture at Brainshark, a technology company based in Waltham, Massachusetts. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
Maptition was able to provide us a system to allow our employees to come back to the office if they wanted to work, where we could manage the seats they were sitting in, but they also have COVID safety features like contact tracing and spacing, which is really what we were looking for.
For Nick Urich, turning his software program into something that can help in the crisis is a fulfilling accomplishment.
For all the tragedy of the year, it's been an amazing thing to be part of the solution out there.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
We continue on VOA Asia. Organizers of the Tokyo Olympics will spend $900 million on measures to stop the spread of the coronavirus at next year's Games, taking the total cost of the event to $15.4 billion. More from Adam Reed.
$900 million. That's how much organizers of next year's Tokyo Olympic Games are spending to keep athletes and spectators safe from spreading coronavirus. The figure was revealed on Tuesday as part of the latest budget for the delayed games, taking the games' total cost to $15.4 billion. Those COVID-19 countermeasures were included in the extra $2.8 billion allocated to cover the cost of postponing from this year because of the pandemic. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga's government has declared he will host the Olympics at any cost and is pressing ahead with the preparations. Tokyo Olympics Chief Executive Toshiro Muto repeated the commitment to keeping the Olympics safe.
It's still a big issue for us to secure as many medical staff as we hope for when facing a situation where private medical institutions are struggling with management because of the coronavirus.
Countermeasures will include a PCR testing infrastructure and setting up a designated clinic. Some of the extra costs will be covered by additional sponsorship and insurance, organisers previously said this month. They would also tap a contingency fund detailed in last year's budget to cover some costs.
Adam Reed reporting. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. do your best to stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.